This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, it appears efforts to pass a temporary funding bill for the federal government may have hit a snag in the Senate. With less than 2 weeks before the current funding measure expires, the Senate has delayed action until Monday, reportedly, in an effort to work out differences between Republicans and Democrats. But that's just the first hurdle, because whatever the Senate does, it is almost certain to face resistance in the House from conservatives. Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks is here with the latest on that in just a moment. And more fallout from Hillary Clinton's attack on conservatives, calling them a basket of deplorables. A new USC LA Times tracking poll shows Donald Trump taking a lead, significant lead, and in some key battleground states as well. Was this attack on voters politically fatal for Hillary, combined with her health issues? RNC Chairman Reince Priebus joins me for that discussion. Also, it appears we will have to wait until after the election to see if the IRS chief, John Koskinen, is impeached by Congress for his role in stonewalling the investigation into the IRS's harassment of conservative organizations. Louisiana Congressman John Fleming joins me for that conversation. And later, we'll open up the phone lines to have that conversation with you. That number, 866-372-7234. Jot it down if you haven't committed it to memory. The website, still the same, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's program. Also, I want to remind you that petition is still there on the United States Military Academy and their really trampling of religious liberty. Their students, a football team, praying after a game, and because of an anti-Christian activist complaining, they're now in full retreat. Stand with General Boykin. Sign the petition. Go to TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right, funding the government appears to be once again coming down to Planned Parenthood. Now, Democrats in the Senate refusing to support a measure to keep governments operating unless Planned Parenthood is given access to funding that is primarily being earmarked for the Zika virus. Now, the House was waiting for a measure to come from the Senate, but that has been stalled because, as I said, the Democrats want to make sure Planned Parenthood gets more taxpayer dollars. Of course, once it comes out of the Senate, if it does, it's bound to have problems with the more conservative House. Joining me to talk about this, Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama's 5th Congressional District. Mo, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. What's the latest you're hearing, Mo, on this continuing resolution as it's kind of hit a snag over in the Senate?
Well, what we've been advised, and all the advice we get is tentative. You never know for sure how it's going to play out. But what we've been advised is that the Senate is likely to pass the funding bill on Monday or Tuesday. The House will likely pass it on Wednesday or Thursday. And then we will go into a recess of sorts until after the November elections.
Now, the clock is ticking. The current funding measure expires at the end of the month. So you've got less than 2 weeks to get this done. Plus, everybody wants to get back on the campaign trail. Now, even if the Senate can come to an agreement with themselves, when that's the problem right now, Republicans and Democrats in the Senate are not in agreement, there's still some issues waiting for it once it comes over to the House, is there not?
Well, there are a myriad of issues because the federal government now touches so many different aspects of our lives. You've got the issue of whether there's going to be funding for bringing in masses of Muslims from terrorist-ridden countries in the Middle East who are not being properly vetted. And could American taxpayers pay tens of thousands of dollars per Muslim immigrant? The Democrats say yes. The Republicans tend to say no. But that's an issue that has to be resolved. You mentioned the Zika funding issue. Should Planned Parenthood be able to dip into the funding that is supposed to be for Zika? The Democrats say yes, the Republicans say no. You've got some people like myself who are concerned about the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is, do we have the money?
Right.
Are we continuing to accelerate the day when we face our country, America, faces a debilitating insolvency and bankruptcy. And as I view this continuing resolution that seems to focus on some of these other issues rather than the really big picture, it will accelerate the day that we have to go through that debilitating insolvency and bankruptcy. And I'm not sure that the American people really understand what that means. What I've been trying to do this year with a series of House floor speeches is help them understand the devastation that is wrought from a central government insolvency and bankruptcy. But that does not seem to have registered on the radar screen very many congressmen or senators.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama, 5th Congressional District, my guest. Mo, let me talk about some other aspects with this CR that are points of contention with members of the House. I, too, have concerns about this, that this is a short-term CR that simply goes into December, puts this right in the middle of a lame duck session where really nothing good comes out of a lame duck session. Any chance that doesn't happen?
Well, there's a chance, but so much is in the hands of the United States Senate. The Senate seems to prefer a three-month CR. The senators seem to prefer Zika funding going to Planned Parenthood. The senators seem to prefer spending money that we don't have that increases our deficit significantly over the coming year. The senators seem to prefer a lot of different things that I don't think the American people prefer. The game plan, as we understand it, is that the Senate is likely to pass its bill and then leave Washington, D.C., shoving it down the throats of the House of Representatives, telling us to take it or leave it, and leave it being a government shutdown that nobody wants. So I don't know how all this is going to play out. There are serious negotiations going on behind closed doors right now. I do know that, to me, the big picture, we simply cannot afford to have another $600 billion deficit. Added on to our $19.5 trillion accumulated debt. And so all the rest of these issues, they're important, but they're not as important as the big picture, and that is that we're spending money we don't have to borrow to get, can't afford to pay back.
So when do we get to that point, Congressman Brooks, to where we're actually dealing with the bigger picture issue of national insolvency?
Well, I don't believe that this Congress, the Senate or the House, has the economic understanding or intellect on the one hand or the backbone on the other. There seem to always be missing one or the other to deal with this threat before it reaches the point where it's too late. And we might already be in that downward spiral where it's too late to correct it with the debt that has already accumulated coupled with the spending that Washington has already committed to and the deficits that are going to ensue therefrom. I'm one of those that believes we need to do it sooner rather than later. Right now, we might still be masters of our fate. It might not be past the point of no return. And so that's where I am. Right. But it's quite clear that my concerns are in the minority on Capitol Hill. And I mention this this next item just by way of background, but I do have some economics understanding, having graduated from Duke University with distinction in economics, which is their highest honor in a major. So I'm not just saying this off the cuff that this is a major threat. Similarly, we're getting a lot of experts who are giving us advice and counsel, people we're paying money to, and they're advising us the same thing. The Comptroller General of the United States of America has advised us that our current spending patterns are unsustainable. The Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan group of think tank specialists who have developed expertise in these financial matters, they're also advising us in writing that our current path is unsustainable. And so it is a major threat, but how do you get Washington to wake up to it and deal with it when they're so focused, always focused, on the next election?
See, that is what I think the key is, because I'm going to take issue with you on something, Congressman Brooks. I don't think it's a lack of knowledge. I think they know where this is headed. I mean, as you pointed out, you certainly have the academic credentials. However, there are all of these entities that work for the government that are putting forth the same projections. And I tell you, my grandmother, who is no longer with us, but she didn't. I think she had a fifth grade education, and she knew you could not spend more than you had. And she managed life quite well by living by that principle. And it doesn't take a whole lot of knowledge to know that. I think it comes down to the fact that there is no political will. There's more concern about the next election than the next generation.
Well, I was trying to give a lot of senators and congressmen the benefit of the doubt, rather than just say that they lack the backbone to do what their country needs and that they know the country needs doing it.
Well, I hope more will come to your understanding of this, that it is something that is not, it's not just something that needs to be done. It needs to be done now. And, of course, we will never get to that point when we continue to fund government as we have during President Obama's tenure by these continuing resolutions, not even using appropriations bills. That's the worst way to operate a government. And I don't see any end to that. Into that in sight.
Well, it's almost distressing. It is. I hope the American people will reflect on all these issues, in particular the financial issues during the general election as they vote. They should have reflected on these issues during the primary, so perhaps we could have gotten more financially knowledgeable and people with backbone as our nominees, Republican and Democrat nominees. But unfortunately, you know, in the primary process, there may have been 5 out of 435 members of the House of Representatives that aren't coming back. I mean, that's a 99% return rate in the primaries, and in the Senate side, there was not a single incumbent who lost his primary battle. That was a 100% return rate. So far this year, the American people simply have not been up to the task of electing to Washington, D.C., the kind of folks we need with the intellectual understanding of the economic threat, coupled with the backbone in the face of very stiff winds to do the right thing rather than the wrong thing.
Let me, final question for you, Congressman Brooks, and thank you for being so generous with your time. Great to talk with you this afternoon. But do you see a distinction between the two presidential candidates on this issue of the financial responsibility, fiscal responsibility?
Well, I know Hillary Clinton will do the wrong thing, and there's the hope that Donald Trump will do the right thing, and somewhat tongue-in-cheek humor. At least Donald Trump has expertise in bankruptcy, so if we go that path, he's been through it. But still, I don't know how all this is going to play out at the presidential race level, but given a choice between someone who you know is going to do the right thing, the wrong thing, and another candidate who may do the right thing, it's pretty clear which way you should go, but it sure would be nice if, say, at the national conventions, Republican National Convention or Democrat National Convention, one of the two parties would have spent some time talking about what is a major threat to the United States of America. But I would wager, I didn't watch all the conventions, but I would wager they spent less than 2 minutes total talking about deficit and debt, even though the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, testified before the House Armed Services Committee in 2010 and 2011 that this deficit and debt situation is America's national security threat, greatest national security threat. And It was big in the 2010 elections, but apparently it's subsided somewhat, and we need to refocus on it.
Well, we're going to get you back to do that some more. Enjoyed the conversation. Thanks so much for joining us. Folks, don't go away. We're right back after this break with Chairman of the RNC, Reince Priebus. Right back.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, evidence is beginning to surface that Hillary Clinton's attack on conservative voters, calling them a basket of deplorables, combined with questions about her health, it's surfacing in the polls. Donald Trump taking a lead, not only in the national polls, but also in the key battleground states. Now, is this sustainable? Is this the trend that we may see going into Election Day? We're only 54 days away from the election. I mean, we're now into that really home stretch for these candidates, and I'm sure they can't wait to get across the line regardless, because this is an exhausting process. But now is when voters are paying attention. And so let's bring in our next guest and talk about what we may see over the next 54 days. Joining me now is the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Reince Priebus. Reince, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Nice to be with you.
Well, great to have you along with us. And this is a pretty significant turn with Donald Trump now taking in some of these polls, he's going outside the margin of error, and he is leading Hillary Clinton. But what's so significant is that we're seeing it in battleground states like Ohio, Florida, where he was trailing before. Is this a trend that we can expect to continue the next 54 days?
Well, I think it's going to continue, and as long as Donald Trump is doing what he's doing, which we were very proud of him for, which is he's been really hitting the policy. He's been delivering great remarks and information that is detailed policy positions on things like school choice and the economy today. Went down to Baton Rouge, went up to Detroit a couple times, and talking to black pastors and their congregations. Those are the things that will keep him obviously on this trajectory, because look, this is really just, and you're a pro, Tony, you know this, but for everyone out there, I mean, there's nothing more important than reading the electorate and having a candidate that fits the mood of the electorate. It's mm-hmm. like a flowing river, and as the river flows, that's the direction that the electorate is going. the electorate is a change electorate right now. They want change. And we all do. I mean, we're tired of all of the broken promises and Washington being upside down. Donald Trump fits that flow of that river. Now, whenever you have a big change election, though, the electorate also wants to make sure that the choice is safe and that it's a good choice and that it's something that is going to work well in government. And as Donald Trump gives assurances to the electorate by doing the things he's doing lately, obviously he's going to continue to grow and do well. And I've every confidence in the world that that's what's going to happen. And as Hillary sinks, because she's got a pretty big ceiling on her, I mean pretty low ceiling, Donald Trump's going to continue to rise. I feel good about where we're at.
Well, by the way, you were at Values Voter Summit this past weekend, did a great job. Appreciated you being
Thank
there
you.
And speaking to the folks. You were there, and Donald Trump was there, and you mentioned school choice, and it just prompted me to remember this, that he did something that I've not heard a Republican presidential candidate say before, not the nominee. He included homeschoolers in that. Yesterday, in his tax proposal for child care, he made very clear that he's going to provide the same benefits to stay-at-home mothers or fathers, parents. He's really working hard to get the conservative support, is he not?
He's in double overtime and overdrive. But a lot of it, Tony, is just common sense. I mean, if you have schools that are failing and you introduce competition into the system, whether it be school choice, vouchers, virtual school, homeschool, charters, all of those things, number one, introduce competition. Number two, it causes parents to be more involved in their child's education. That's just common sense. And while, yes, it's conservative, that's what we've been fighting for years and years. These are things that even a person who's never run for political office but otherwise very smart looks at and says, you know what, this makes sense. And that's really where he's at. He just wants to solve the problem. And, you know, whether it be poverty or whether it be opportunity and freedom, school choice and different kinds of forms of schooling, including homeschooling, have to be part of the equation. And mm-hmm. So I honestly think it's what we need to hear, and to have a person running for president that has an echo chamber that none of us have to talk about those issues that, quite frankly, this is what our party has championed. But I guess you don't hear enough about it. And so that's why I'm just very grateful that he's brought this subject up, just like you.
Yeah, it's different. It's certainly he is not afraid to talk about things that other politicians won't. We're almost up against a break, but quickly, you made a comment earlier today. I was watching Fox and Friends, and you were on this morning, pointing to one of the reasons Kellyanne Conway, a friend of mine, friend of yours, someone we know, a pollster, has gotten his attention where others have not. Why?
Well, he's been doing the speeches at the teleprompter since June. And I think it's something, like, for him, who's never run for office, it's not the easiest thing to be willing to do, because you always feel like you want to, you know, you're in a rally, you want to kind of go off the cuff. It's very hard to do. And I think the reason that Kellyanne's been so effective is that here she's come in, she's had a previous relationship. He had a couple managers before her, Paul Manafort was, as you got to know Paul, he was basically saying the same thing as well. But once she came in and reaffirmed that position on the message, and then he saw the polling at the same time affirming the same position, it really did make a huge difference. He's been very good. The team there has done a wonderful job. We're working hand in glove with them. We've got a good operation. We feel very good about where we're at, both in the operation side, the ground game, the messaging. It's really coming together. We're ahead of where we were 4 years ago, and I know it's been a rough primary, but people should feel good about where we're at today.
All right. We got to leave it there. Reince Priebus, thanks so much, Mr. Chairman, for joining us this afternoon.
All right. God bless you.
All right. Keep up the good work. RNC Chairman Reince Priebus. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the IRS commissioner. He's under investigation.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, the economic news of the day is retail sales numbers. And, you know, we've got to really look hard at this. Here we go again. This is August retail sales numbers. Of course, you know, this includes all the back to school shopping and so on and so forth. So pretty big month. But, you know, they were expecting retail sales might still be in the slow lane, so to speak. But here we go. We got retail sales numbers negative, down. They fell 0.3%. Not a huge drop, but nonetheless, we have seeing these retail sales numbers extremely weak again and again and again. Now, retail sales numbers are a pretty good indicator of where we are, or in this case, where we are not in the economy. Now, some are saying that the slowdown is not necessarily bad news, really. Well, I don't know how persistently low prices and low consumer spending cannot be bad news. In fact, it is bad news. Now, some of this, they're saying, well, retail sales numbers, yeah, they're down, but it's August. The driving season is slowing. Gasoline prices have come down. Of course, gasoline is a retail sale item. Think about this for a moment. Suppose you strip out gasoline, retail sales numbers would still look very poorly. This coming on the heels, President Obama saying the middle class has got a huge pay raise. The middle class wages are still firmly planted in the 20th century.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right. By the way, I invite the chairman of the Democratic Committee to join me on the program and talk about their candidate as well. So it's open. All they have to do is take me up on the offer. Okay. Let's talk about the IRS. I said the IRS Commissioner John Koskinen was under investigation. That's not quite accurate. He is actually, they want to impeach him for his actions, what amount to covering up the IRS and their efforts to harass conservative organizations. However, it now appears that that vote that was being pushed for to impeach the IRS commissioner will not happen until after the election. Joining me now to talk more about this is my good friend, John Fleming, congressman from North Louisiana. John, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks, Tony. Great to be with you today.
Yeah, John, I know you have spoken a lot about what has happened with the IRS and have been pushing to hold the commissioner accountable for his actions. Give us the latest from Capitol Hill on what we're looking at with Koskinen.
Yes. Although there had been a resolution for months to impeach John Koskinen for being a part of a cover-up and obstruction of justice, lying to Congress and ignoring subpoenas, the Judicial Committee in the House just refused to move forward. And so one of the privileges that come from the Constitution is that a individual House member can go to the floor and call it up or notice it, and there has to be a vote up and down on impeachment within two legislative days. And I did that 2 days ago, and we were expecting a vote, but I guess under pressure, leadership and the leadership of the Judiciary Committee decided, okay, we'll go ahead and move this forward another step. We'll begin having hearings. We'll bring John Koskinen in, and we will swear him in, put him under oath, and we'll ask him some of these tough questions that need to be asked. So we said, fine, if you will do that, we'll stand down for now, but we reserve the right to bring the vote back up again if for some reason this thing is not followed through to completion.
So what is the time frame that we actually can expect something to happen?
The hearing has been scheduled for next Wednesday. I'm not sure whether Mr. Koskinen has been subpoenaed or not. Certainly if he volunteers to come in, he doesn't have to be subpoenaed. But either way, he's coming in. Now, he might plead the fifth, but if he does, then the question is, well, then what is he hiding? But anyway, you can have your TV set ready next Wednesday, because I'm sure it'll be in front of cameras. And hopefully for the first time, we'll hear John Koskinen trying to explain why he did what he did and why he didn't take certain actions that he should have taken.
Are you convinced, based on what you've seen, that he was covering up for actions within the IRS?
Yeah, I really am, Tony. I mean, the evidence is really transparent. Remember, this all goes back to Lois Lerner, who even the IRS now admits was targeting people for their political beliefs, Tea Parties and such. And by the way, there's still Tea Party organizations out there, conservative activists, who have still not received, after 5 years, their tax-exempt designation. So it still has not been resolved. But in any case, it was clear that Lois Lerner was behind that. She was targeting people. And John Koskinen was brought in to clean this up. And when he got there, another subpoena for information for the tapes and emails and all of that from Lois Lerner was given, and he said he would be responsive, he would provide everything. And within 3 weeks, it appeared all of it was destroyed. However, when he came back and said, oh, by the way, they've been destroyed, sorry, then we said, Congress said, well, are you sure everything's been destroyed? And he says, yes, absolutely everything. And then the Inspector General found a bunch more. So, he was not being transparent. He was deceptive in his answers and totally misleading. So, as it turns out, we did capture a good bit of information. But at this point, Tony, no one has been held accountable for these misdeeds.
This has become, I would say, reflective of this entire administration. I mean, we see one scandal after another, and every time that Congress attempts to hold them accountable, they basically just stop talking and sit on the information so that, I guess, they're hoping the clock runs out on this administration.
That's true. You see, the only way that they can do that and get away with it is to have a complacent attorney general's office. As long as the attorney general and the head of the FBI stand down and do not pursue these things, you see, The legislative branch, Congress, does not have the power to arrest or try.
Right.
So
right.
If you don't have an independent attorney general's office, then basically people who are at high levels of government can pretty much do whatever they want to
and get away with it. We're seeing that. That's what's happened for the last 8 years. John Fleming, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Great, Tony. Thank you so much. Good talking.
All right, Congressman John Fleming. As always, find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. I'll have a question for you on the other side of this break. Remember, the phone number, 866-372-7234. Jot that number down, the website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. We're coming back. Don't go away.
Do you enjoy history, museums, pandas, and national monuments? And are you looking to gain work experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, come spend a semester as an intern in Washington, D.C. with the Family Research Council. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and attend congressional hearings, events, rallies, and lectures all over D.C. Further, you will develop your skills in research and writing about the sanctity of life, marriage and family, religious liberty, and many other policy issues. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. To learn more and apply to the program, visit frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
challenges await a Christian ministering to a Muslim friend.
They have no mediator. You still got a holy God, you still got a broken law, and you've got the reality of hell described in even more vivid colors than anything we find in the Bible.
Dr. James White, director of Alpha and Omega Ministries, helps bridge the misunderstanding and lack of communication between Christianity and Islam. Look for the AFA Cultural Institute DVD, Reaching Muslims with the Gospel, by Dr. James White, when you visit afastore.net.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to vote for candidates that stand for biblical principles and biblical moral values, and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. Here's what I want to hear from you. Regardless of your party affiliation, I think most people would have to agree that Hillary's had a rough week politically. But as you've been out there, I mean, we're Thursday. You've had almost a week since Hillary Clinton made the comment insulting conservative voters, those who hold traditional values, calling them a basket of deplorables. What have you been hearing from your friends? Are they incensed over this attack? Do you think this is something that, like we saw in this tracking poll from the USC and LA Times, that Hillary's support is, her voters are dropping off while Trump's are ratcheting up, more likely to vote on Election Day? Is that because of this attack? What are you hearing anecdotally? I know you're not asking you to conduct a poll, but just what are you hearing from your friends? Is this? I personally think that this could is dumb, a dumb move on her part, and potentially politically fatal for her to call, you know, so many voters. You know, she wasn't attacking Trump. She was attacking the voters that support Trump, calling them a basket of deplorables. But I want to get your thoughts. 866-372-7234. Hey, by the way, the values bus, it's rolling. It's rolling. For the next 54 days, it'll be crisscrossing the country. It's going to be tomorrow at 1 p.m. Sioux City, Iowa. It's going to, of course, if you're listening on KAYA 91.3 and KTFG, you're up in that area, Bot Radio Network, Sioux City, Iowa, 1 o'clock, Cornerstone World Outreach Church. Be sure and go by and say hello to the bus for me. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines here, 866-372-7234, and let's go to Texas where Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm great. It's Thankful Thursday, so.
It is Thankful Thursday.
Okay. Yes, I am very upset about Hillary's comments because she lumped me right there in the middle with all of the people that she was talking about. And I guess I'm just absolutely deplorable. And I have friends who were semi-leaning towards Hillary, and they're like, they're kind of rethinking it, and especially now with the health thing. They don't like Donald Trump. He's still not my favorite, but it's a far sight better than Hillary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have many friends that would be voting for Hillary anyway, but I do have a number of friends who have kind of been standing on the sideline. But I think, you know, it's like she just threw a political punch at a lot of people who were just kind of like not in this fight, but because of their traditional values, she basically lumped them into this basket of deplorables. I've talked about this earlier in the week. This is the problem with the left. This is just how they operate. Anyone who disagrees with their radical progressive ideology, they have to attack. They have to stigmatize, marginalize for the purpose of silencing. And they're in that groove so much. It's become such a way of life under the Obama administration that they have a hard time differentiating between normal conduct and, or what I should say, post-election conduct and what they're actually doing in a campaign when you're supposed to get votes. I mean, you don't win elections by insulting the voters. Carol, thanks so much for the call. Glad to hear from you. Thankful to hear from you on Thankful Thursday. Let's go to Indiana, where Kevin is on the line. Kevin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment on the deplorable. I'm here in Indiana, and you know we was really excited. I think Indiana overall is for Trump. There's a few just walking around that's wanting to vote for Hillary. You know, the comment that was made is really got a lot of people. I agree that was on the sideline or people that wasn't sure which way they wanted to go. I've noticed here it's kind of helped out. The only problem where I'm at here in Indiana. On the Indiana-Illinois border, a lot of people here just think that the election is almost bought and paid for, that it doesn't matter what she does, it doesn't matter what happens, it seems like she just keeps sliding by, and, you know, it's got a lot of people frustrated, and to try to get them to say, listen, you've got to vote, because if you don't vote, that's a vote for Hillary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think she thinks the election's bought and paid for, and that's why she could make such a far-reaching comment in insulting so many voters. I mean, I think it shows arrogance. It shows disdain. It's everything you don't want in a national leader.
Right, right. I agree. And we hope that it's not bought, paid for, and hopefully we're trying to get everybody out to the polls, because I know if you don't vote, it's going to go her way. But with the comment that she made, I think some of the people now have said, well, wait a minute. let me go ahead and step up and change my vote. So hopefully it works out for the best.
Well, Kevin, I hope that every American will understand the tremendous opportunity and right they have to go to the polls and vote and elect their leaders, not just the president, but members of Congress, state leaders, all the way down to city councils. That's a unique privilege that we have, and I think we far too many take that for granted. And I'll just go one step further, Kevin, for Christians, I believe we have an obligation. It's a part of that being salt and light, informing ourselves of the candidates, and even if they're not ideal, you have to differentiate between the two and do a little homework and a little digging and vote for the candidate that can either best advance those values or allow those values to prosper or at least not crush them, as we've seen in the last 8 years, or attempt to crush them, I should say. Kevin, thanks so much for listening and for calling in on this Thursday afternoon. All right, you're listening to Washington Watch, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Virginia, where Janet is on the line. Janet, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks.
Well, what do you think? Did this comment hurt Hillary?
Well, sometimes when I listen to you guys, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. Basically, I think that if Donald Trump is deplorable, and if he is your guy, then you have to own him, and that makes your actions deplorable as well. So I think she was spot on myself. But
now, she wasn't talking about Donald Trump. She was talking about the people that support him, that they're deplorable, and she went down with a list. It wasn't because they were supporting Donald Trump. That's not why she called him deplorable.
You have to own his actions and his words if you support him.
That's not what she said, though, Janet. That's not what she said. She did not say those people were deplorable because they were supporting Donald Trump and because of the things that he had said. She specifically called out his supporters as being deplorable. So don't try to rewrite what she said.
She called out Donald Trump's supporters. You're parsing words.
No, okay. Let's play that clip. We're going to play the clip again. I think we have the... Do we have... Let me see if we've got that clip. I'm going to see if we can get it because Janet seems to have forgotten what Hillary said. She specifically challenged the... she didn't challenge the supporters of Donald Trump as being deplorable because they supported Donald Trump. She went after them because of their views and said they were deplorable and they were supporting Donald Trump. We're going to see if we can get that clip. In the meantime, Janet, thanks for calling. You're wrong, but thanks for calling. All right, let's go to Arkansas where Mac is on the line. Mac, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for taking the call, Tony.
All right. What do you think, Mac?
I've been seeing posts from people that I know pretty well and everything, and some of them are like proud to be deplorable and stuff like that. So I'd like to just let it run off the back like water on a duck. But now for the other folks, I don't know. But you know, I praise God that Hillary Clinton probably got a better taste of her foot than she's ever had in her life.
All right, Mac, thanks. Thanks for the call. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, 866-372-7234. We're still trying to pull up that clip. Let's go to Virginia where Dave is on the line. Dave, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. I'm thankful that sometimes I get a chance to hear your show because my company sends me on a delivery run somewhere where I can pick up AFR.
Well, great. Well, we're thankful that you can listen.
Thank you, and I'm calling in to get my I'm deplorable and I vote bumper sticker, sir.
Well, we haven't gotten them printed yet, but as soon as we get them, we'll put you on the list. But look, there are some marketeers out there that have all kinds of deplorable materials available. I think this is a huge mistake on her part. I mean, what are you hearing, Dave? I mean, are people taking offense at this?
Well, I hate to say that I'm offended, as my pastor would say at church, that we had to avoid being offended by stuff, but all she has done is, in my opinion, and I live in New York State, I think she just put New York State in play, and I think there's going to be a lot of people up there that might take offense to that and decide to heck with her, and let's give this Trump character a shot, and despite what Chuck Schumer says, because of course, you know, Chuck Schumer doesn't want to have anybody have to show an ID to prove that they actually are citizens of New York or their voting district where they might be voting, because that would offend somebody to have to show an ID or a voter registration card, Tony. So I'm hoping that we can take New York away from the Hillary camp, because I was up there when she brought her carpet bags, and I didn't appreciate that very much.
Well, I think it could very well happen. Dave, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. All right, here, I've got this clip for you. I want to play. So we're very clear, you know, Janet, hope you're still listening. This is what Hillary Clinton said a week ago Friday.
Be grossly generalistic. You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. But that other basket of people are people who feel the government has let them down.
See, that's what she was doing. She was attacking the supporters. Now, she's making reference to those who believe in natural marriage, believe in biblical morality, those who believe in protecting the borders, those who don't want terrorists to come over among refugees and kill Americans like has happened under Barack Obama's watch. So she wants to, those people are deplorable in her eyes. It wasn't because they're supporting Donald Trump. They're deplorable because of the views that they hold, that America should have borders that are not porous, that we should say that people who want to kill us should not be able to come here, because we believe in 5,000 years of human history and everybody that's come before us that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. That makes people deplorable. She's talking about half of America or more. More. So Janet, don't try to put the spin on that like Hillary and her supporters have. She was attacking voters who hold traditional values and who happen to love this country and want to protect it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You know, I don't find that deplorable at all. I find it deplorable that people and elected leaders would want to destroy this country or set it up for destruction by demoralizing our military, taking away their religious freedom, using it as a laboratory for social experimentation, cutting the funding to our military, making us vulnerable. That's what I find deplorable. Attacking religious freedom in this country, where you have the freedom to worship. You can do what you want almost within the four walls of your church and between your two ears. You think about it, but you can't practice it. Not in the Obama world. That's deplorable. And folks, that's what we have to change. We have the responsibility to protect our freedoms and to preserve our freedoms for the next generation. And our freedoms, our ability to live our lives, as Americans have for centuries, is at stake in this election. I do hope that you will do your part, that you will not sit on the sidelines and allow America to be taken away from us. Because, folks, that's what's on the line. The future of this republic is at stake. You and I have to stand. Stand for truth, even if it's unpopular. Stand for what is right, even when those in power call it wrong. So, folks, I hope you'll take the words of the Apostle Paul to heart today. You've done everything you can do when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand. Don't back down. Don't be quiet. Don't go away. Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.